We began a series week before last, and the series is called Teach Me the Power of a Moment. Our lives are really moments. What we think of when we think about life is we think back about moments. We don't really think in life as years or months or weeks or even hours. What we really remember are events, are moments in life that brought us to where we are today. We are moments that have happened. That's what our life exists. And how we handle those individual moments brought us to where we are today. And so the Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 52. It says, in a moment, would you say that back to me? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. Say that back to me. We shall be changed. Now, I know what that verse is talking about. That verse is talking about the resurrection. But what I want you to see today and during this series that we're doing is that how quickly God can change our lives. See, what God can do for you is you can be in a dead place. You can have a dead life and all of a sudden He can do something in a moment. He can bring a person into your life or cause an event and you can be in a specific place in your life, walking with the right plan in life, and all of a sudden you have a resurrected life, even though you once had a dead life. Listen, in a moment He can set a person free that's addicted to cocaine, that's addicted to drugs. In a moment He can change a life. In a moment He can resurrect something that was dead and make it alive. In a moment He can do it. Amen? Are you with me? Yeah. Yes. He wants to do that for you in a moment. That's what the Bible is talking to us about. And what I want to talk to today about is teach me the power of a moment in a place. Now, last time we talked about teach me the power of a moment with people. When God gets ready to change our life, He always brings somebody new into our life, another person or people into our life. And so there's the devil. When the devil wants to stop our life, he'll bring people into our life. He mimics. He tries to do what God does in the opposite direction. What God wants to tell us today is that there is a place that He has a commanded blessing for you. There is a place that if you get in that right place, God has already set a commanded blessing and works for you. And this is what I want us to see today. Now, the Bible talks about Elijah, and I'm going to use Elijah as our study guide here in our lesson today. The Bible talks about Elijah. Elijah was a prophet of Israel, and he just kind of shows up on the scene. And all of a sudden, here's this prophet making this declaration that there's going to be a famine in the land. Let me show you the reference and read the passage to you. It's in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 6. It says, now Elijah, who was from Tishbe in Gilead, told King Ahab, as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, the God whom I worship and serve, there will be no dew or rain during the next few years unless I give the word. Now here's the part I want you to see. Then the Lord said to Elijah, notice now, the Lord God Almighty is speaking to a human being. Then the Lord God Almighty, then the Lord said to Elijah, go to the east and hide by Kereth Brook. Notice the specifics. I want you to go east until you run into the Kereth Brook at a place. Say that back to me. It's so important. Let me tell you why I want you to say these things. See, by our words we set our direction. By our words we create our worlds. By our words we're justified, or by our words we're condemned. And so when I get you to say something, I'm just not wanting you to do, you know, just sit there and help me out. I'm really wanting to release something over your life. So I want you to say that back to me. Say that back to me. At a place. At a place. East of where it enters the Jordan River. Please get the specifics here. He says, here you go, Elijah. You go east. You're going to run into Kereth Brook. I want you to follow it east until the place where it runs into the Jordan River. Because at that place, I've commanded you a blessing. Look at this. Look at this. To the Jordan River, drink of the brook. That's going to be pure, good water. Drink of the brook, the word of God, however that you want to go with this. Drink of the brook and eat what the ravens bring you. For I have commanded. Say it to me. For I have commanded. I've commanded a supernatural substance for you. I've commanded something for you right there that you can't get anyplace else. No other brook's going to do. I've given you the specifics. And you got to go to Kereth Brook right there where the Jordan meets, where it meets the Jordan River. And if you'll stand right there, you can have a supernatural life. He says, go there. And I'm going to send the food to you. Now, so, here's the results of this. So Elijah did as the Lord had told him and camped beside Cherith Brook. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. Elijah had it tough, didn't he? Now, you got to get the picture. The rest of his world is going through a famine. The wells are drying up. There's no rain for the crops. People are going without food. And here lies Elijah under the shade trees, camping out, drinking pure water, having a supernatural lifestyle. What I'm wanting to tell you today is that if we can find the place, there's a commanded blessing already waiting for us right there at the place. No other place will do. You got to be at the place that God's instructed you to be at. And if you're at the place, there'll be a supernatural lifestyle. But it all hinges on one thing: your ability to hear God speak. Word of God speak. Fall down like rain. We got to hear what God has to say to us. You see, it all hinges on our ability to hear the Word of God, to hear God speak to us. The Lord wants to give us specific instructions, but it's all dependent on your ability to hear God. Now, people say, you know, we're living in a time where God doesn't speak today. You know, well, that's an Old Testament time. That's that God doesn't speak today. I had a preacher come up here one time, and he told people that. I never had him back again. He kind of told them that God doesn't speak today. Well, you got to explain this verse to me then. It's in John chapter 10 and verse 27. You tell me what that says. Jesus says this here. My sheep, what? My sheep hear my voice. I know them. I know them because why? They hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. And they do what? They follow me. Now, the image that he's doing here is a shepherd. A shepherd, the sheep had to hear the shepherd so he could follow them. You will never find the place that God has for you to live a supernatural, abundant lifestyle if you can't hear his voice. You won't know where to go. You'll be lost and wandering around. It's all dependent upon hearing God speak. This is so important that we get this. Elijah heard the voice of God. Elijah lived in the supernatural abundance of God. He commanded the blessing for Elijah. The key is to hear God speak. Did you notice that it was a commanded blessing? I want you to see that God has a place for each of us where there is a commanded blessing. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 8 says this: the Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. In other words, whatever you're doing, if you're in the right place, it's going to prosper. And he shall bless thee in the land, or in the place, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. There is a place where a commanded blessing waits for us. God will command the blessing. Now, I'm going to say something, and I really want you to hear this. How many blessings have we missed because we were not in the right place? Have you ever done that? Oh, man, I should have went. Oh, goodness, I should have went here, or I should have been there. I missed it. See, our life is a series of places. Just like it's a series of people, it's a series of places. When you think back about life, oh, I was at this place. I remember at that time where this happened. Oh, I remember when we were there. I remember. See, you think about life in places, and there's a place where God's commanded a blessing for us. And life is a series of these places. Watch this. In 1 Kings 17:7-9, still speaking here of Elijah. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then, what happened? Then the word of the Lord came to him, Elijah. Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon. Now, no other Zarephath would do. No other city would do. Very specific again. Go to Zarephath. The word of the Lord came again, once again, to Elijah. The specific instructions came again to Elijah. And stay there, he says. I have commanded, say it again. I have commanded a widow in that place. I've commanded a widow in that place, no other place, Elijah, to supply you with food. She's going to take care of you supernaturally. Now, I hope you remember the story, what happened here. Elijah does go. He goes to Zarephath. He finds this specific widow. He tells this widow, he says, would you get me something to drink? She says, we got a little water left. Yes, I'll get you a drink of water. So she turns to go, and he says, hey, while you're doing it, get me something to eat. And she says, well, that's a problem. She says, I've just got this little bit of flour left, and what I was doing was gathering up some sticks so I could make a fire. And once I made this fire and baked this little cake, me and my son were going to eat it, and then we're going to die. He says, thus saith the Lord, if you will give it to me, you'll not have any slack. You'll not have any lack. For while this whole time is going on, you'll have everything you need if you will obey the word of the Lord. So she did. I couldn't do that. You know, that'd be difficult for me. You know, take a widow's last meal. But she did it. And supernaturally, she was supplied for 3.5 years. Be kind of like you. There's no more gasoline. But yet we got a child that's sick, got to get to Atlanta. I walk up to you and I say, okay, give me your gas. And you say, what? I got a sick kid. But if you give me your gas, you can go 3.5 years and never have to buy another gallon. It happened and it worked. For 3.5 years, she didn't have to do anything. Just supernatural lifestyle. Now, what I want us to see here are two things. First of all, Elijah was at the place for his blessing. A commanded blessing waited for him right there. Secondly, what I want you to see is that Elijah wasn't only at a place, but he is a place. You are a place for people. I am a place. I love it when people come and drink of me. I love it when they come and eat of the fruit that I've produced. I love it when I became something for somebody that's in a desert land, that's in a famine in their life. I love it like that. And God wants each of us to be a place, not only find a place. You are somebody's place. You produce fruit. You produce stuff that substance for people and directs their lives and helps them through life. See, God wants us to find the place, but also be the place. God connects our blessings to places. Let me show you this. Write this down. God's commanded blessings for you, for your life, is directly connected to a place. God's commanded blessing for your life is directly connected to a place. Elijah went to Zarephath, and there he became a place. God connects our blessings to a place. Important places that we go to are very important in our life and what we have in life. Now, I'm going to say something. It's going to sound self-serving, and you can think whatever you want to say. Think. But I'm going to say something. The most important place that any of us can be is church. It got quiet. But you got to be careful when you wake up on Sunday morning and you say, I don't feel like going to church today. Because so many times what God begins in our lives will start in a service just like this. We'll begin right now. Something's being provoked in somebody's mind right now. Something's going to be said in a song, or you're going to come down for prayer and the gifts of the Spirit's going to work, and word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or a prophecy is going to come forth, or something's going to be said in a lesson that's going to stir you up and challenge your life and cause you to go higher. You need to be careful. You need to be careful when you wake up on Sunday and your child doesn't want to go to church. I don't want to go to church today. I'm going to stay home and play Nintendo. Well, I'm sure they'll hear the voice of the Lord playing Nintendo. You need to be at church. There's nothing better than a church where God's going to speak the Word of God to you. Nothing better. Because it's going to start something that will take you to the place that God has commanded your blessing. Now let's think about that just a minute. Let's think about that. If God connects your blessings, reason with me, saith the Lord. If God connects your blessing with a place, what does the devil do? Come on. Sure. He's going to have you in a wrong place. Because if he can stop your blessing, if he can stop it, then he's going to stop you from having what God's got planned for you and the blessing that God has for you. We've got to realize what the devil does, and I don't think he's omniscient, I don't think he's all-knowing, I don't think he even knows the future, but I know that he does this. He's got this forky little tongue. This little fork, and it's always sensing the atmosphere in your life. And when he senses that you're about to go up, he's going to do everything he can to get you in the wrong place. Listen, if you miss the church, which is the most important place that you can be, you're going to miss the blessing. There's nothing more important than the place of Jesus Christ. And he says, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There's nothing more important than the church to be at. And if you miss it, here's what's going to happen to you. In a moment, you're going to find yourself in the wrong place. Let me show you. Jesus in Luke chapter 4 was being tempted of the devil. He went to the wilderness. He was fasting. And the devil came and he tempted him. Read this with me. Luke chapter 4 verse 5 says this. And the devil, taking him onto a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. There's power in a moment to take you up or take you down. There's power. Lord, teach us the power of a moment. And there's no better place than we can be at church to get the moment where God wants to do something for us. Just as the devil will bring wrong people into your life to stop your progress, so will he bring a wrong place into your life to stop the progress as well. Now, sometimes the Lord will even test you to see how deeply you want that blessing or how deeply you want to be close to him. He's going to test you. He's going to see what, if you're serious with this. The Bible tells us about Elijah training up Elisha. Elisha was going to be the prophet coming up after Elijah. He was the next prophet coming along the lines. And in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, it tells us about the time where Elisha knew that Elijah was about to be taken. So if I mess these two up, I hope you understand what I'm trying to communicate to you. But it's difficult keeping them separated when you're talking fast. So in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 9 through 10, it says this. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me what I can do for you before I am taken from you. For I am taken from you. Let me inherit a double portion of your... It's very important that you see this. A double portion of your spirit, Elijah replied. You have asked a difficult thing, Elijah said. Elisha replied. You've asked a difficult thing, Elijah said. Yet, if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours, otherwise not. In other words, if you're at the right place, Elisha, you will get your double blessing. Now, I'm going to say something fast. Now, with all these notes for you, I'm not going to get to preach my whole message today just because of time. But what I want you to know is that they're out there, and I'm going to get a whole, there's a whole lot more out there than I'm able to say in here. So anyway, a double portion of your spirit. What did Jesus say to the Pharisees? He says, you travelers, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, you travel land and sea to make one proselyte, and when you make him twice the son of hell. Jesus said to his guys, he says, you be careful about the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You be careful about this. And what he was talking about their teachings and their doctrines. See, what the devil will do is hold you back. And I'm on my soapbox with the church thing again. But see, if you're at the wrong church, you can become twice the son of hell. I know. Are you hearing me? But at the right place, you get twice the spirit. And you get something that you wouldn't have got. It's extremely important. And God will sometimes test us. God will sometimes test us to see if we really want that. So what Elijah did to Elisha was kind of test him a little bit. And in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 2, it says this. And Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, and for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. But Elisha said, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. Now, what is the secret message of Bethel? What Bethel means in this Hebrew form is the house of God. The very first place that Elisha was tested was this going to the house of God. How important is the house of God? Do you remember the story of Jacob's ladder? Remember that? Jacob's taking he's sleeping for the night, and he lays his head on a rock. The rock is Jesus, and we could go into all this stuff. But he's laying his head, and he has this vision, this dream. And what he sees is a ladder that ascends to heaven, and the angels of God were going up and coming down. Let me give you the reference here. I have it for you. It's in Genesis 28, 12. It says, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. What's happening here is the angels of God are going up the ladder with the prayers of the saints, and they're coming back down the ladder with the answers from God. Going up the ladder and down the ladder. A lot of people never have anything going up because they never take time to pray. Listen, I'm as busy as you are. I've got a lot of things I need to do, but I have got to slice out. I've got to determine that prayer is more important than the other things I got to do. Busy people, praying people, have to cut something else so they can pray. Have you got anything going up the ladder? In Cornelius, in Acts chapter 10, he's talking there, and he says, Cornelius, your prayers have ascended to me as a memorial. What does that mean? He says, you got so many prayers up here, I can't help but think about you. You got so many prayers up here, I got to get busy on you. Do you have anything up there to come back down the ladder? Well, what happened here is, in my thing about Bethel is, see, that's what the house of God is. Jacob named that place Bethel. He named that place the house of God. That's what he named it, Bethel, the house of God. Because right here, so much stuff starts up the ladder. And so much stuff starts coming back down the ladder. And if you miss church, you're going to miss your blessing. See, the secret thing, the place that you're always going to be tested at is, do you really want it? Do you really want to be close to God? Do you really want to find that place? God wants you to. But He tested him. Now, Elijah and Elisha went through lots of places, and this could be a whole series of lessons in and of itself. But one of the places that Elijah took Elisha was through through Jericho. Now, Jericho means fragrant. Jericho means fragrant. It's a sweet-smelling place. It's a fun place. It's an easy place. It's a comfortable place. Most of the places that we walk through when we go with God are going to be comfortable places and sweet places. But Jericho's not very far from Gilgal. And he also took him through Gilgal. Now, Gilgal is where the children of Israel first crossed the Jordan River. And when they crossed the Jordan River, well, the first thing God told them to do was put up memorial stones. Put up these monuments. Memorial stones. Important. I want you to remember this always. This is extremely important. You've got to remember this. But Gilgal was also the place of circumcision. A painful place. A place where your life stops. They stopped for 3 days. Could not move. There's times in our lives where things stop because of pain. Because we're going through stuff. And what's interesting is when you connect these two, because both these things happened at the same place. Memorial stones and circumcision. Memorial stones and pain. See, some of the most important things that happen in our lives are painful things. Some of the things that we remember the most, but yet changed our lives the most, were painful events. Not fragrant events. Our lives change because we're in a place sometimes where God took us, because to conquer the land, we've got to go through Gilgal. Do you remember Disney, Walt Disney? I know you do. Disney World, Disneyland, the empire of Disney. Well, Walt Disney, and his motto, and I love his motto is this. He says, if you can dream it, you can do it. I love it. Don't you love that? If you can dream it, you can do it. Anyway, but he had a lot of Gilgal experiences, a lot of monumental times, but at the same time, a lot of cutting times. And he began as a cartoonist, and he was working for newspapers, and then he began his own business, and his business went bankrupt, a very bad time, a tough time. And I read his biography, and his biography said that many times he would just lay it all out there on the line. He would just put it all out there, just risking everything for his dream. Well, he created these cartoon characters. And one of the cartoon characters that he created was called Oswald the Rabbit. And Oswald the Rabbit was doing pretty good. And this was movie time. Now, it's a long time. We can't really relate to this because of the time we live in. But at this particular time, in this particular time of the movies, it was about to add sound to movies. You know, you had to read it all back then. But at this time, there was starting to add sound. And Disney dreamed of Oswald the Rabbit talking on the screen. And so he went to his financial people to get money so that he could finance Oswald the Rabbit and have him talking, you know, sound with Oswald. Well, his financial people not only wouldn't let him have sound, but they pulled the plug on Oswald because they had the patent. They took the patent away from Disney. And Disney walked away from there with nothing. He had sunk everything he had into Oswald the Rabbit. And he walked away from that meeting without even that. He had pulled the plug on the whole thing. He got back on the train with his wife, heading back home right after that painful experience, and sat there and drew Mickey Mouse. And from Mickey Mouse, that whole blessed empire was created. See what God will do for you in a moment. Right place, at the right time. He will change your life. He will resurrect you. He will bring you into a place of blessings. That's what He wants to do because He's already commanded it. And all we got to do is get on the right train. All we got to do is meet the right people. It's already commanded. God wants to bless us. And you see, it's all about staying close to God. It's all about positioning ourselves in the right place. Elijah positioned himself like a shadow. He says, you're not getting out of my sight. As surely as the Lord lives and as surely as you live, I'm not letting you out of my... I'm your shadow. I'm hooking with you. You're not going to get out of my sight. And he got his double blessing as the chariot of fire took away Elijah, the mantle, and come back down. And Elisha got it. And Elisha did twice what Elijah did. It's Moses loved God. Moses loved God and said, God, I talk to you all the time, but I want to see you. I want to see you. I want to be with you. Let me show you this in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 21 through 22. It says, "And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me." There's a place by me. I want to tell you today, God has a place by Him for you. He says, if you'll get in that cleft of that rock, if you'll just get in that place, I'll put you in this cleft and I'll put my hand on you and I'll protect you. There's a place for you by God. David said it this way. He says, they that dwelleth in the secret place. Let me read it to you. Or a portion of it. Psalms 91 verses 1 through 8 says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You're staying close to God. When you're in somebody's shadow, you're right close to Him, right? I mean, Elisha was like in Elijah's shadow. Moses was in God's shadow. When you position yourself to be in that shadow of God, then all of these wonderful things start happening in your life because you can't miss Him when He whispers. Elijah was in a cave, and the Bible says that he was depressed. He was having a bad time. It was a Gilgal time in Elijah's life. And there was an earthquake. And it says that God wasn't in the earthquake. He wasn't in that loudness. And there was a fire, and there was thunders and lightning. And God wasn't in the thunders and lightning. But God was in the still, small voice that came. See, you've got to be close enough that you can hear Him when He whispers. You got to be in His shadow. Sometimes He won't yell it. Sometimes you got to pray. Sometimes you got to be close to Him so you can hear Him when He whispers. You got to be in His shadow. And if you will, if you position yourself there, that verse, put it back up there for me, please. That verse goes on to say, no matter what's going on your right side, what's going on your left side, 1,000 things on this side, 10,000 things on that side, no pestilence is going to touch you, no weapon formed against you, nothing happens, no snare of the fowler is going to get you. It all works out because you're in the place. The commanded blessing is in a place, and it's all hinging on our ability to hear God. Think of those who position themselves in a place. Think of that. Think of the leper that came to Jesus and said, "If I could just get close enough, I know I've got a terminal disease, but if I could just get close enough, I can get in His shadow, and I can say, 'If you'll heal me,'" and He says, "I will, I can be healed." And He does. He goes to Jesus. He says, "You can heal me if you will." And He says, "I will. Be thou healed. Be thou made clean." What about the woman with the issue of blood? Bible says that for 12 years she had this issue of blood. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 22 talks about that. She spent all her money on this stuff. And then she says, "If I can just get close enough, I can just get close enough to Him and get to where I can touch the hem of His garment. If I can just get in the shadow, if I can just get there, then He's going to heal me in a moment." Let me read this to you. Matthew 9:22. Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," He said. "Your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed when? From that moment. There's power in a moment. Don't miss your moment. What about the guy who had the demonized son? Son with a demon. He says, "If I can just get him to Jesus, if I can just get him there, get him in that shadow, if I can just get close enough to Him." And he did. Let me read it to you. Matthew 17:18 says, "Jesus rebuked the demon and it came out of the boy and he was healed from that moment." The woman from Syrophoenicia, following Jesus around. He called her a dog. "Get away from me, you dog." She wouldn't get out of his back from behind him. You know what? It says the same thing. From that moment, her daughter was healed. There's a place by God for us. And in that place is a commanded blessing. Are you in the place? Would you stand to your feet with me? I want you to say this after me. This year, I'm going to find the place where my commanded blessing waits for me. This year, I'm going to find the people who hold my blessing for me. But this year, I am going to learn to hear the voice of God like I've never heard before.